Well, this morning I want to share just briefly a message which I entitled, Hello. My name is New Hope Community Church. I had some cool slides that would be nice visual, but I think I glitched my PowerPoint, so I'm going to be using my notes, which will be good. But yeah, it's a special greeting this morning, especially knowing that there's a bunch of students and community folks. This is your first time with us. I want to do just a little bit of a, kind of like a greeting, getting to know us. We would love to get to know you as well. New Hope Community Church was founded in 1970 with a heartbeat to reach college students, and after a couple of years, also community, and that's still the vibe. Glenn was sharing that. That's a core value, caring and loving on college students, community, and also even broader, even countries around this world. So I don't know where everyone's at this morning, but if this is your first time, we're really glad that you're here, and we don't think it's an accident that you're here this morning. God has designed you on purpose, for a purpose, and we want to be part of God's narrative in your life by encouraging you closer to walk with Jesus. There's just a couple just getting to know us things. There's four pastors here. I'm the lead pastor. My name is Jim Holt. And there's also Glenn Ewart, Scott Davey, and John All. We form a pastoral team. And I'll just mention something that might be unique about us is that we have what's called a plurality of elders or a pastoral team. So even though I'm like the lead pastor, it's not so much Jim's here with some guys that are older and wiser saying hello every now and then. We actually function very much as on a team. On Tuesday mornings, we gather together. We pray for prayer requests that are submitted during the week. So if there's any ways we can be praying for you, we love to pray for you. That's a big emphasis for us. We pray for wisdom from God. Lord, you're the key shepherd. You're the key leader. We're like sub-shepherds in a way. God, would you guide us together? Would you lead us into making decisions with your wisdom? There's a lot of good ideas, but as many of us know, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. Are you with me? You ever have a good idea? It's like, Lord, this is what I need to be doing. And it's like, God's like, nah, that was your idea. It might be a good one, right? Or sometimes a bad idea, which we mask as good. But Lord, we really want to hear your heartbeat and make that a reality here at New Hope Community Church. When I refer to the church, I'm not talking about the brown siding or 80% metal roof. I'm talking about us, the people, you and I together. And for some of you, you're checking us out, you know? Hey, maybe you're a believer and you're like, I want to plug in somewhere. So I want to let you know about us a little bit more. But maybe God is kind of distant. Maybe you're like, I don't even believe in a God, or I'm kind of searching. And we're really glad that you're here too. So this is a safe place to learn more about Jesus. Our vision here is growing together towards maturity in Christ. And in a moment, I'll be looking at our key verses for that, which are in Colossians. So if you want, you can turn there if you like to Colossians chapter 1. Verses 24 to 29. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. I do apologize. I know most of us are very used to the verses on the screen, so sometimes you don't even bring a Bible. But if you have something you can turn on, like a digital phone or tablet, and not be on Facebook the whole time, feel free to turn that on and check out maybe an online Bible. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. So we have this vision of growing together towards maturity in Christ, which really stresses a great depth, I think, to our church and to our vision, where we want to be. That all of us are in a process, if we know Jesus Christ, of getting closer to knowing Jesus Christ, and we want to keep moving in that direction. I love how the vision does not assume that we're all perfect. If you're looking for a perfect church, you will be in an endless pursuit, because you'll never find one. There's no church that's fully perfect. We're made up of broken men and women. I'll admit I'm a broken person in need of God's grace every day. If you don't believe me, ask my wife and she will give you a list. Hopefully not a spreadsheet, but maybe a list of things. These are areas where Jim needs to look more like Jesus. We all got areas to grow on. And I share that because we're all on the same page. We're all on the same journey, focusing towards Jesus. But we have a depth there. But it's not just like, oh, we just want to be an insider club, or we just hang out in the church building. We want to bring the good news of Jesus Christ with the grace and peace of Lord Jesus onto the campuses, SUNY Potsdam, Clarkson, St. Lawrence University, SUNY Canton, and the communities in Potsdam and Canton, the surrounding areas, and also to countries around the world. We love to pray, love to spend and support and help missionaries in other countries share the good news of Jesus Christ. This message is so good that we surround our entire church around the person of Jesus and getting that message out. The gospel has the power to change lives, not just 2,000 years ago, but today. And we'll be looking at a testimony in a little bit about just a really powerful testimony, actually. I'll be inviting someone up to share about just the power that God has to transform lives as we go closer to Jesus. So our vision, I think, really hits on some depth there. We want to grow deep, deep, deep roots like a tree, having roots go deep into the ground. But we want to get that message out on the campuses and the community and countries around the world. So we have a big heart for college students. And Glenn already mentioned we're having this barbecue in your honor with the reserved seatings. But I wanted to just have a moment. This is kind of really practical before I jump into the message, to give you a gift. So I'm inviting up Ethan and Seth. Got two helpers who I believe will be coming up in a moment. But I want to give you a little gift bag. So Ethan, you want to grab the box, and then Seth, come up front. For those college students, we have 30 bags. If we run out, I'll make sure to get you one. But Jill Ludlum and the family put these all together, which is a huge gift. There's some information, some gifts, little things you can eat. But if you're here for the first time or you're a returning college student, so community folks, if you're trying to get in on these granola bars, keep those hands down, you know what I'm saying? But college folks, this is really specific. If you're here for the first time and are returning, can you just lift up your hand? And Seth and Ethan would love to give you an informational packet with some stuff. All right, so yeah, just go around. Keep it up until we get all of you guys covered. And we'll be coming around as a way to bless you. So just keep it up. You guys can keep rolling. Really glad that you guys are here. In 1970, or in the 70s, my parents, as many of you know, they came to school up here. And I was just talking to my dad, Joe, this week. And I was just reminded about how when he was here in the 70s, the church name with koinonia, which is the Greek word for fellowship, but just the difference that Jesus made in his life through the college ministry here, which is now a New Hope Community Church in the 70s, but also being involved with an on-campus club called InterVarsity. And I just want to make a moment where my dad came to know the love of Jesus Christ up here and radically changed his life. My mom even made it, you know, if you want to hang out or even date me, you got to be involved with InterVarsity. Which InterVarsity is not supposed to be like some bridal club, you know, matchmaking 101. But the wedding I did yesterday for Anthony and Linda, I did meet them in a Bible study. I'm doing another wedding in 2 weeks, which was also in a Bible study. So I'm seeing a trend. I don't know. I'm not saying like go to an InterVarsity Bible study because you're trying to meet somebody, but go meet Jesus and we'll see what happens in that order. So not for the spouse, Jesus first, and we'll see what happens. God knows. But anybody else not get a bag? Any hands that were missed? We just want to make sure. Okay, cool. For some reason you're missed or you're keeping it low, love to get you a bag. We have a couple more. So Seth, Ethan, thank you guys. Can you give a hand for Seth and Ethan? Thank you guys. Appreciate it. So let's look at our passage this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. If you have a little title in your Bible or maybe online, mine says Paul's ministry to the church. This was the Apostles Paul's kind of heartbeat for seeing churches grow. And this is where we get our vision statement, specifically from the last two verses, verse 28 and 29. But here's the context. So verse 24, it says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Just real quick. Glenn was mentioning earlier, just setting the stage when he was praying, just that you can be facing frustration, anger, depression, difficulties, but Christ is the hope of glory, and you can invite Christ in to help you in any situation. Isn't that awesome? The hope of glory. I love that phrase. I used to stay on this phrase when I was in college for weeks. I would sing songs all about this one phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I go to a piano practice room at a college in Rochester, and I would just sing songs on repeat just to that emphasis that Christ is in me and Jim, the hope of glory. What else do I need, right? I have everything I need, Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul continues in verse 28, 29, where we get our vision statement. For him, this is Christ, we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. You see, Paul's this message is going out to everyone. It's not just the Jewish folks or the Gentiles, but he's saying everyone, warning everyone, teaching everyone, presenting everyone mature in Christ. And we see that as a heartbeat here for us here at New Hope Community Church. We want everyone, every person's like, I want to plug in here. We want to see you grow. We want to grow together. And our direction is maturity in Christ. May our lives look more like Christ than last week. And here's a really practical way to think about it. How have you grown in this last week? For those who are following Jesus Christ, how have you grown in the last week that you look closer to Christ than you did last week? Because just like if you're doing some exercise or whatever, could you run a little bit farther or longer than you did last week? I remember when I was running in college, I never wanted to run in college, you ever get really like persuasive friends that kind of convince you to do things? And you're like, okay. So I got peer pressured into running, and I'm like, I don't want to run. I like soccer. And the coach I had was like, can you just go jog for 25 minutes? I'm like, sure. I'll go jog for 25 minutes. And he came up with this crazy plan that like in 4 months I'd be running a ridiculous amount of miles, which I thought was a stupid idea. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to run at this speed for this length of time. But little did I know, he was a good coach. He started me off really, really easy. But in months, I was able to go incredibly far at a very fast pace. But something that he would hold me accountable to was I wouldn't be repeating the same speed or the same time as last week. There'd be growth. Are you with me? Right? There'd be a little bit faster. You can go 28, 30, just a little bit, but it was little baby steps. And I think in our relationship with the Lord and with Jesus, how are we growing in this past week? Is there some area that looks more like Christ or area that you let go that was not of Christ than last week? A couple weeks ago, I was thinking, I was going to share this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, but an example for my own personal life, because I'd like to very much make it clear that I'm not perfect, but I'm a broken person in need of Jesus. I was talking with my wife, Crystal, who, if you don't know her, she's fantastic and wonderful, and we were having this discussion, and you ever have a discussion where you're convinced 100% that you're right and the other person's wrong? Anybody ever have that? You're so sure. You're like, if I had a PowerPoint, whatever, I could just show slide after slide. Visually, why I'm right. So anyways, I was in that kind of, you might want to say pride cramp. I wouldn't call it pride. I would just say incredible confidence. So my wife, though, I so appreciate her because she's just been growing, and we've been growing together, and there's definitely obviously areas we need to grow in. But it was cool. We had this disagreement, and as I was going through it, Crystal was like, man, Jim, you seem like kind of off. And I was like, no, I think it's because you're wrong, and probably off means right. So if you reverse that, you're probably, whatever. You know what I mean? But she's like, no, I really think you're missing it. I just appreciate, she has so much wisdom. I've never been in a conversation like this with anyone before. But she's like, I really feel like it's off. This conversation's going on re-loop. How about you just pull away, spend time with Jesus, pray, write down in your journal what you think the Lord is telling you, and then come back. And I was like, ha-ha. I was like, God's going to say I'm right too. So I'm like, okay, whatever. And you can misuse and abuse a God card. She wasn't doing that at all. She sincerely was like, go spend time with the Lord. So I pulled away, went in our family room, got out of the journal, started praying. I was like, man, I'm excited to have not just a thought of how I'm right, but the whole page is going to back me up. And so as I started writing down, listening to the Holy Spirit, you know, Lord, what should I be saying? A guy was just like, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. I'm like, no, that's not how I need to start this letter. It's I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. But it was great because it was a growing moment for me. I realized I was wrong. The Lord said, you got some issues back in this part of your life you need to deal with, and you need to go and apologize to Crystal. I was like, no, this game plan is terrible, right? This is not what I wanted. I wanted like a trump card or some type of thing that said, I win. But really, it was Christ saying, no, you need to grow. And I share that just to say, I'm growing. I hope you're growing too. And for those who are checking us out, we would invite you to grow with us. We don't have it all together. Sometimes we bump heads. Sometimes, you know, you'll hit heads, just like in a family. But the whole idea is that we're loving each other in Christ, that we can offer forgiveness. We can apologize and ultimately grow closer to Jesus. Sound good? I hope so. That's our vision. So we want to grow closer to Jesus together, and we want to encourage each other. I really love Crystal's position of, instead of taking a really strong argument how I was wrong, she's just like gracefully, gently taught me to go a different way towards Christ, which was a game changer for that situation. In verse 29, moving back to the verse, Paul says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." So this is Paul's goal. This is what he's doing. He's church planting all over the place. And he did this with a tremendous amount of energy, but it wasn't his own strength. He relied on God's grace to do this. And as we look through the New Testament with most of all the letters pretty much written by Paul into different churches, we see that God was working powerfully through him. And my encouragement before we have a time to just hear a testimony of growth, for college students who are on the campus, I would encourage you, if you know Jesus Christ, you have the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what the Bible says, the same spirit. So as you're going in, you have this academic view or maybe relationship view or fun view or whatever. Those things are all great, but I would encourage you, put God as number one priority on the start of the semester. Ask the Lord, God, I'm not just at Clarkson or Potsdam or SLU or SUNY Canton just to get a degree, especially for those who know Christ. But Lord, what do you have me here? Is there a roommate I need to be praying for? Is there someone I need to be reaching out with? Is there a way I can be involved with other Christians to share the gospel? I want to encourage you not to waste a semester or two semesters just pursuing your good ideas, but to invite the Lord, God, what's your idea for me for this semester? I think it's a great prayer. God, what is your will to be done? I encourage you. God wants to use you in powerful ways. And there is a lot of students that still don't know Jesus. Isn't that right? A lot of students that do not know the grace and peace and the love and redemption that's in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So college students, I want to say you're equipped and you're empowered if you know Christ to go get them. And we will be supporting and praying for you weekly, if not some of us daily, as you do that. So our vision is to grow together towards maturity in Christ, and our mission is to reach our campuses, the community, and countries around the world for Jesus. I want to give an example of just of an individual growing together towards maturity in Christ, of being in a place that was real just brokenness and darkness, and how God just radically changed the narrative in her story. So I'd like to invite up Heidi Cheerpeck, who will be sharing with us. Can you give a hand to Heidi as she comes up?
I don't usually get nervous. Hi, Brad. There's more people over there. Growing up, I felt like I had an emptiness inside. I was insecure, anxious, and I never felt like I belonged anywhere. I never felt good enough or lovable. I just wanted to be happy and feel special. And I began searching for things in this world to take away my pain and fill that hole in my soul. Although I grew up in a church as a child, I was a choir girl, I went to Sunday school, I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus and no faith that God actually cared about me. So I took matters into my own hands. I looked for love in relationships, putting myself in unhealthy situations, compromising myself in the hope that somebody would want me. Eventually, alcohol and drugs entered the picture, and I found myself spiraling down into a very dark place in my life. But I had no idea that God was with me, pursuing me even then. While in jail for DWI, I found a Bible, and I just randomly opened up to a page, which was Ephesians 5:18, which reads, "Do not get drunk on wine." Clear correlation. Which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And those weren't just words to me. They spoke into me, into the recesses of my soul. I could not escape the obvious connection I had to that message, and some part of me knew that I was being called to turn from my ways and turn to God for help, but my addiction was powerful, and I continued to drink and use. About the same time, my mother, over there, gave me a bookmark with my name on it. It said that my name meant noble, and it included the scripture Jeremiah 29:11, which reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." At the time, I saw it only as a thoughtful gift. But today, I know it was a promise from God that followed me throughout my struggles and is demonstrated in my life today. One day in 2013, I had hit rock bottom. I was spiritually broken, hopeless, and afraid. I knew I couldn't go on living that way anymore, but I didn't have the strength or the courage to change. Then God met me right where I was, homeless, sick, and desperate. I called out to God for help, and he came to my rescue. And I hear the song, I called, you answered, and you came to my rescue, and I want to be where you are. God created a pathway for me to return home and seek treatment for my addiction. I knew I needed to get sober, but I had no idea that God had a brand new life in store for me in Christ. My family attended New Hope, and I began attending too. In many ways, I felt like a child, lost and in desperate need of guidance. But I was embraced by the fellowship at New Hope, and I began to experience God's love and grace in a transforming way through worship and the kindness of the church. My longing to know God increased, and I signed up for some bagels and Bibles classes in the hope of growing in my newfound faith alongside other Christians. The first class was Becoming a Contagious Christian with Glenn, and it helped me discover what communication style suits me so that I could share my faith in an effective and personal way. The second class I took was called The Power of a Whisper by Bill Hybels, and it taught me what it takes to hear the whisper of God in my life and to respond. And the third class I took was led and designed by Jane Ault about emotional freedom. It helped me uncover the roots of my pain, how to uncover the lies I believed about myself that kept me sick, so that I could grow towards spiritual maturity. Through these classes with my new family at New Hope, I began to sense a new plan in my life, plans to give me hope and a future. I began to rise, gaining courage and strength, and I went back to school, recently obtaining my master's degree from SUNY Potsdam. While in school, it was a challenge at times to be in but not of the world, but I became very involved with this church and service, joining the worship team and volunteering in other capacities. I was and still am very involved in the recovery community, and I've been asked to speak with college students about my story of recovery from addiction. Today, my life is not so much a cautionary tale as it is a story of redemption and the transforming power of God's love. I still have a lot of growing to do, but today I believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I just wanted to take a moment. That was a fantastic testimony. Incredibly well prepared, but to see the difference that God can make in Heidi's life. That's the same God that loves you and can make a difference in your life. So wherever you are, God loves you and he can meet you and radically change the narrative in your life. And Heidi, some of you might not know this, but Heidi, the testimony where she was and where she is so cool because she actually serves here as our church secretary, custodian. I'm just like, it is awesome. No, it's just so cool to see what God can do to be able to hang out with Heidi during the week and stuff and see just the joy and love you have for Jesus and for people who are hurting. Just awesome. So thank you so much, Heidi. Thanks for sharing. Can we just give her another hand? That's well worth it. Well worth it. That's fantastic. I love hearing testimonies. God's just so good, and he's so faithful. I'd like to invite up the musicians at this time as we'll be transitioning to a final song to close us out before our benediction. I would encourage you, if you're here, I think the Lord's just been speaking that theme from the onset and through what God's been putting on my heart, and especially with Heidi's testimony. For college students, I know you're starting the semester, but for community folks, for all of us, regardless of where we're in school or not, I would encourage you to make today just a time to commit to Christ, maybe recommit. If there's an area you've been struggling with on an ongoing, invite the grace and peace of God to set you free, to let him change you literally from the inside out. We don't get changed to look more like Jesus by working harder. It's actually just receiving God's grace daily. I love the picture that Jesus shares in John 15, that if you abide in him, you will bear much fruit. Meaning if you make your home, if you spend time and let Christ spend time in you, the byproduct of that relationship with Jesus through prayer and just spending time with him produces the fruit, produces good things. So it's not necessarily like, oh, I got to work harder. And that often leads into more like a legalistic religion, but it's more of just an overflow of a relationship with a loving God and a loving Father. So in a moment, we'll have a song going, and then we'll have a benediction. After our benediction, I'll have some instructions for food. I want to let you know that we'll have prayer teams up here at the close of our service. If you're here this morning and God's been working on your heart in a way that you're like, you know, I would love to receive prayer, we'll have men and women up here who would love to pray for you. Any issue, anything, we realize there's a lot of different problems in life, but God is faithful to meet every single one of them if we bring it to him. So I'm going to encourage you, as we close with the song before the benediction, receive from the Lord, listen to the Lord, and I believe God has great things for us and in store for us as a church. Amen? Amen. So I invite you to stand as we close with the song before the benediction.